floor, and all Nelson does is go, ha-ha, at him. And when questioned why he did that, he said, well, I said, ha-ha. His phrase, his response is the same to the situation. And Nelson is a bit like Saul. He's got the product of what's gone on around him. And bullies in our society are sometimes the product of that. Nelson, with no father, a mother who doesn't care about him, the material wealth gone, living in Springfield, not the greatest part. And we're going to look at how Saul was affected by the things going on in his life. And we'll go back a bit before we get to the passage. So to introduce it and just give a sort of general overview, I was thinking there might be kids in here. So you're all going to have to act as big children. There's a little video clip which is about a minute long. So.
Yes, David was a hero. King Saul was so impressed that he made David a leader in his army. And everything that David did was a big success because of the Spirit of the Lord was with him. But then King Saul noticed something. The people who used to cheer for him were now cheering for David. The women who used to sing songs about him were now singing songs about David. And Saul became jealous. He was filled with envy and hatred. Yes, King Saul turned to the dark side.
Wait, what? Jester, that's the guy from those space movies.
I know, but it's similar. He was big and strong. He was good, but he became jealous and filled with hate. He turned to evil.
Okay, as long as the kids know that King Saul was a real person, not a make-believe guy from a movie.
Well, now they do. And here comes David. He's just a kid, but he's good. He's a brave. He can save the galaxy. I mean Israel, from evil. And King Saul said, the Spirit of God is very strong in this one. And young David said, I will fight you.
Good, good. David didn't fight King Saul. He wouldn't.
He wouldn't fight. Why? Was he a chicken?
No, he was very brave. But he knew that God had chosen King Saul just like God had chosen David. And David would not hurt someone that God had chosen.
So it's a little video clip. I've used these before, done by the guys who create VeggieTales. And it just gives a sort of real quick background and a generalized overview to what we're going to be thinking about. And you saw them there link it into Star Wars, and I just want to coin a Yoda phrase as we talk about bullies. And Yoda's famous phrase is, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. And as we talk about why Saul bullied David, why Saul was the way he was, just keep that thinking in the back of your minds. So to begin with, before we go into depth into 1 Samuel, we're just going to read the passage. So I know it's quite small on the screen. It takes up quite a lot of slides, having a whole chapter. So I will read it as well, and I'm reading from the NIV. So after Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, my Lord the King. When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, why do you listen when men say, David is bent on harming you? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lay my hand on my Lord, because he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. See that there is nothing in my hand to indicate that I am guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. As the old saying goes, from evil doers come evil deeds. So my hand will not touch you. Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Who are you pursuing? A dead dog? A flea? May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand. When David finished saying this, Saul asked, Is that your voice, David my son? And he wept aloud. You are more righteous than I. You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me about the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family. So David, sorry, I've realized I've not switched. So David gave his oath to Saul. Then Saul returned home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. So we hear this story about Saul and David and how David spares Saul's life. But to understand, we need to go back and look at why Saul became like this. Saul had started out fine. What had happened? What had changed him? So we're going to use Saul as our archetypal example to look at why people bully. And I will be going back before our passage to look at a bit of this. So the first one is he was jealous. He'd become jealous of David. And you saw in that video, and in 1 Samuel 18, verse 7, it states, As they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. We see that the people had now placed David on this pedestal above Saul, and Saul had just sort of dropped off a little bit. Saul had become jealous of all this accomplishments. Everything Saul did, David did one better. Goliath was just the first step. Now, it was tens of thousands of men. And Saul had begun to forget why he was doing what he was doing. Why was he king? Who had put him there? He'd become so focused on himself and how he was that he'd become jealous of David. And his jealousy led to anger. So in the next verse, in verse 8 of chapter 18, it states, Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? Not only now had Saul been jealous, but it had slowly turned into anger. He'd become angry with his accomplishments. And we see actually in the story that Saul throws a spear at David at points. He gets that angry that he tries to kill him. And by whatever means, it misses. But he became angry that the people who he was leading wanted David. Didn't seem to want him, and he started to feel a bit like David was slowly taking control, like his power was disappearing from himself. And this is all centered around fear. So in verse 12 of the same chapter, it states, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David but had departed from Saul. This just illustrates how we can feel when God disappears from us. There had been an emptiness left inside him, And a lot in the world, when people bully, they're doing it to sort of cover up an emptiness, to cover up an insecurity. God had left Saul because he'd gone to David, because David trusted in him and believed in him. Saul had gone off on his own and had started to do his own way. And if we look at this, we need to acknowledge that our need for the Lord is great. And there's this hole in us always waiting to be filled by God, a God-shaped hole within us. He was so fearful that because of this, David would take his power, his throne, everything he'd worked for. And he'd become insecure. And we go back even further to look at this. Originally, when the tribes of Israel looked at choosing a king and they chose Saul, where was he to be found? He was hidden in the luggage. He was insecure in himself that he'd been chosen as king, couldn't quite get that. Couldn't even get secure in the fact that God had chosen him to do something. And it's easy for us to become like that when God chooses us to do something. We feel we might be a bit inadequate, but actually, with God's help, we can do those things. We have to have belief in God and how he works in us. Unlike Saul, who had become uncomfortable in who he was. So you've seen a little bit of just how Saul had become the way he is, and how people in our society can become as bullies. And this isn't just bullies in school, this can be in the workplace, in the community, wherever. We saw that people have something a bit missing. Something's there nagging at them. And what do? We use strength to overcome that and to cover it up. But God gives us some quite clear examples from David of how we are to respond to bullies and how we can change them. So the first one of these is we must place our trust in God. So the psalm that we heard earlier, verses 1 to 3, state, "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me." Can see in the psalm, it's putting trust in God. As children, when people bully us, we're told to go to our teachers, to go to our parents. Shouldn't we still be doing that now? Shouldn't we still be going to our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Teacher now? God is the one that saves us, is the only one who can. He's the one who weeps for us. He understands our pain, and he is the only one who can be there fully and have no distractions. No earthly distractions can take him away from us. So we should cry out to God in these situations. We should be praising him and ask for his help. Not hide away and think we can do it on our own. God is there for us and he is open for us any time of day. We must place our faith in him, not in our own desires, our own decisions, our own fears, much like Saul did, with how it changed him. And if we place our trust in God, we must have trust that God is the only one who can judge. God is the only one perfect enough to judge. And the passage that I'm just going to flick at for this is firstly from the Psalm and then Samuel. So the Psalm reads, "My enemies have set a trap for me. I am weary from distress. They have dug a deep pit in my path, but they themselves have fallen into it." It talks there about how people will dig the pit for themselves and fall in it. It is not for us to dig the pit for them in retaliation. God will judge all of us. It's not our place to do that. And in Samuel, it says it even clearer. It says, "After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom are you pursuing? A dead dog? A single flea? The Lord, therefore, be judge and decide between you and me. And may he see and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand. God is the one perfect enough to judge. And at the end of the day, when we judge others, we can't actually know the plans that God has for them in the future. We can't know how our judgment will affect that. If we judge, can we take away from that? Can we hinder the work that might be going on in them through God? God will deal with them. God deals with those who persecute us. And God delivers us from those people. The times may be tough, long, and painful. It doesn't mean it's going to go away in a heartbeat. But God is there and God will deliver us from them. If we have trust in God, we must trust in his ability to judge, not in our own ability to judge. We must trust that he can decide who is righteous, as we must remember at the end of the day, all of us have sinned and fallen far short of the glory of God. A third thought is that we can't turn to respond with evil deeds. In Samuel, in verse 13, it says, as that old proverb says, from evil people come evil deeds, so you can be sure I will never harm you. It states there, from evil people come evil deeds. And it's really easy for us to actually respond to evil with evil. It's the easy way out. Not to turn the other cheek, but throw the punch back. Say the word back. Pull the prank. But actually, this is very easy to create evil within us and allow the devil to gain a foothold within us. We've got to take the example of Jesus and God throughout the Bible and learn that we must respond in that way, not in the easy way, but the hard way. As I said earlier, bullies can easily be created by the society around them, a bit like happened to Saul. And with Nelson, but we can't allow the evils of the world, which says get your comeuppance, to direct us, but be sure and steadfast in the Lord our God, in trusting him that he will do everything and he will deliver us, not in our own strength and power. As you can see, this all goes back to that central key point of trust. Just as David trusted in God, we must trust in God. And we can't allow evil deeds to grow from our lives. The hardest bit of dealing with bullies is to bless. And this is such a common theme through the Bible and in our passage. Verses 16 to 21 in Samuel say, when David had finished speaking, Saul called back, is that really you, my son David? Then he began to cry. And he said to David, you are a better man than I am, for you have repaid my good for evil. Repay me good, sorry, for evil. Yes, you have been amazingly kind to me today. For when the Lord put me in a place where you could have killed me, you didn't do it. Who else would let his enemy get away when he had him in his power? May the Lord reward you well for the kindness you have shown me today. And now I realize that you are surely going to be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will flourish under your rule. We can see in that passage, David has actually blessed Saul through what he's done. If we bless those in our response who have done evil to us, we can receive God's blessing, not in an earthly way, not in material wealth, not anything like that, but in the true riches of heaven, in the wealth of God's blessings. And we're reminded of this with that really famous passage in Matthew, where we're clearly told that it's the flip around from love your neighbour and hate your enemy. Jesus states, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. We have an example there, clear as day, to follow. And whilst it's not easy, it's there for us to follow. And if we bless others, it leaves a lasting impression, much like in the passage, David blessed Saul. It left an impression upon him. He stated quite clearly, I can see you've been anointed, you're going to become king. I can see God within you. To those who do wrong to us, see God in us coming back at them. Or do they see the world coming back at them? And we're told, as I've said, to turn the other cheek. And clear as day, David does this. But we must pray in these situations. And the psalm goes into that. We must cry out to God. We must pray for those and ask God to give us the strength to come back in a blessing to them. We must cry out for ourselves to be able to do that and to ask for his guidance and how we need to work in those situations. At the end of the day, we will be blessed through that. This passage clearly talks about bullying and how Saul has changed and how he's done these things. And the two major ways we need to change in how we deal with it is firstly to trust in God, not in our own strength, and keep that as central to everything we do, to take shelter and go to our Heavenly Father. And to use that trust and his guidance to bless those who persecute us, to bless those who bully us, to change them, to change the world one little step at a time. God calls us to do that as Christians and followers of him, not to act as the world dictates. We must. So if you just take two things away today, it's to trust and bless. And the blessing will come from trusting in God and crying out to him. Thank you.